Hallelujah. Last week I touched on something that I want to finish up sort of today. When I lifted out those words that I said was great revelation, and the Lord showed this to me a while back and began to open it up to me. Something in the book of Genesis is the book of beginnings. And in there we have the beginning of worship. And we have the beginnings of all of these things, giving, everything that we need to understand, the beginnings of all of it is in the book of Genesis. And last week I shared with us when the Lord asked Adam and Eve this question, "Who told you you were naked?" That the Lord spoke that to me and asked me to find out what that meant. That there was revelation in that. And I'm telling you today, church, if by the Holy Spirit you can receive this, by receive I mean take it inside yourself and let it reorder your thoughts and your actions, your life can be very different and become much more powerful. In Genesis 2, verse 25, or let's see, it's 3, verse that I want to start with is Genesis 3, verse 3. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord has made. And he said to the woman, Yea, God has said, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, You shall not surely die." How many of you know you can't believe a thing the devil says? And if you ask a demon his name, he might lie to you. "For God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, your eyes will be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat." And I heard a man say recently, that's why women can't preach or lead in the church. And so I thought, here's what I thought. All of those poor people, those thousands of churches that were raised up by Amy McPherson. What a shame that all of that happened. And I, you know, General Booth, William Booth said, "Some of my best men are women." Even his wife, by the way, was one of the great women leaders. "And the eyes of them were both open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons," right out of France. "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord." Step one, you want to hide from God. Whereas this morning we sang, "I'm coming after you. Not only am I not going to hide from you, you can't hide from me. I'm coming after you." "And his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said to him, Where art thou?" The Lord wants to know just where you are today. I mean, he's asking you not in an accusing way. He's asking you in a way that a father or a mother just wants to get to you so that you can have communion together. Why are we so afraid of God in the wrong way? Because of the devil's lies. "And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? God had told them that if they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they would die. All the trees were acceptable to eat of. By the way, there were a lot of other trees. And the tree of life was there. And the betrayal begins, the betrayal against God, begins by Eve listening to the serpent and accepting the information as truth. You know, the joke nowadays is, I got it off the internet, so it has to be true. That's an example of world truth. As such a mixed bag full of nonsense and anything else. And a little bit of good. The serpent brought the information to cause Eve to be suspicious of God's intentions and His character. You know, God's kidding you. He's holding you down. God's holding you down. Did you ever hear a voice say, you're being held back? God's not let you be released in your real ministry and all you can be. Why would God hold you back? He must be mean. He's just trying to get you not to kill yourself. If you eat of that other tree, you will surely die in this conversation. Don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil and die about anything. She believed first a lie and then an accusation against God, and she agreed with the serpent, questioning God's motives. So the first inference is God is not good. He's trying to withhold good things from you. Just like the flesh tells a little baby, oh, your mama doesn't want you to touch that hot stove because she doesn't want you to have fun exploring. Until he pulls his hand back and cries for another half hour. Then he gets it. Maybe mama's not bad after all. Yeah. My grandmother said when I was very small that I turned all the gas burners on the stove. And I think you needed a match so it didn't work. You know, I was just going to asphyxiate everybody else. And so she said to me, sometimes you have to shake people down to get the truth, you know. So she said to me, did you turn those burners on the stove? And I said, no, I didn't do that. And she waited just a few minutes, and then she said, tell me how you got up there to turn the buttons on that stove. Oh, I just pulled up a chair and... There's a lot of space between the time that something is done and the truth actually comes about, what it means and what it was. The serpent projected that the knowledge of good and evil was more valuable than trusting God, or even more valuable than God's truth. What do you want with His truth? If you have my so-called truth, you can become as God. How about that? And you'll know good and evil for yourself. Don't we love to have things for ourselves? Independently, I can do it. I can think it. I can work it out. See, this thing that's in us, you know, is sometimes people say, well, it's hard for me to receive anything from anybody. See, that's a very basic thing. It goes all the way back to the tree. Learn how to receive from people. It's good for you and it's good for them. We need each other, and we need God more than anything. She thought the tree tasted good, and it looked good, and it would make her wise, the scripture says. The enemy has a way of causing the acquisition of knowledge to suit our flesh and its desires, so that we can read something or do something and think we've heard something that's really not God, but it makes our flesh feel good. And sometimes we think that's being at peace. No, it's your flesh just relaxing for a minute till it gets ready for its next gig. There's no warning that it has a downside when you start looking at that tree. You don't get the other end of it. God said they would die. It might not be today, but they did die, and it wasn't immediately. Their spirits died from that day. The serpent said they wouldn't. Their flesh said, seems good to me. I'll tell you something. There's voices inside of us that shouldn't be listened to. Do you know that more and more when we find people killing people, rampaging, shooting up people in a movie or out at a restaurant and what have you, and when they get to talking to the person said, I heard a voice that said, you'll never be anything if you don't go out there right now and prove that you're a man. The amazing thing is that you could believe anything that weird. That shows the supernatural power of it. In Corinthians it says, no voice is without significance. The voices that come into our ears are so significant. That's why Jesus said, be careful how you hear. That means what you listen to and how you take it in. Be careful. I've been places where you had to learn how to eat the chicken and spit out the buns. And we all need to learn how to do this. Take it with a grain of salt is another way. My dad used to say, don't pay attention. He's just full of prunes. We've got all kinds of things that tell us, don't believe everything you hear or everything people say. And by the way, a lot of people say a lot of things they don't know anything about. I saw a cartoon the other day. It said, global warming X'd out. Global cooling X'd out. Climate change? ? We don't know what we're talking about. We're just talking. Hey, we're just talking. It pays. People turn on the news. It's something else we can be talking about. Open your eyes. Now, the accusation was, Satan knows that your eyes will be open if you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But I want to take you to another scripture where eyes are opened. See, because in verse 7 here in Genesis it says that when their eyes were open, what they saw brought fear and shame. Whereas they had been probably covered in glory, being in God's image in the garden. And it didn't matter if you were naked or if you had on a fur coat. You was all full of God's glory. And they were naked in... But now that their eyes were open, they were naked in a shameful way. The first, because they learned their information from the wrong source. When you were a kid, do you remember how we used to say, shamey, shamey, shamey? I think shame is probably one of the meanest words in the vocabulary. It just makes people feel like they're not fit to live. The last thing in the world that God wants is for you to be bound up in shame. He wants you to be free. So the enemy immediately got the right to make them feel shame that they had never felt before. And the first thing that they did was to try to remedy their shame in their own way. Okay, you're getting your information from the tree of knowledge, good and evil? Good. Now you have the information you are naked. Now, since I didn't give you that information, I don't have a remedy unless you ask me and get back in the right place. So who's going to fix it for you? I'll fix it myself. That fig tree is going to make beautiful clothes. You've heard sermons preached on fig tree religion, haven't you? Or fig leaf religion. That means you think a few fig leaves are going to cover your nakedness. Anything you come up with to cover that nakedness and shame is going to be inadequate. Well, why? Because you came up with it. Because Jesus is the only answer to shame and nakedness. If you open yourself up to all kinds of avenues of knowledge, you will inevitably touch into realms of hurt and confusion. But notice that God has a desire to open our eyes to Himself. Think of that. Follow the devil's leadership, and he'll open his eyes, up your eyes to you and what a failure you are. But follow God, and He'll open up your eyes to Him, how glorious He is. I've seen enough of me. I've pretty much seen enough of everything. But I want to see more of Jesus. You see, having your eyes opened by the tree of knowledge of good and evil makes you see all kinds of things that are a burden. They're fearsome. They're dreadful. They're doomsday kinds of things. In Luke 24, 29, 32, they constrained Jesus, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened. And they knew him. We need to pray for our eyes to be open. More and more and more. And he vanished out of their sight. Now, he opened their eyes. And they said one to another, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures?" He will open your eyes and it will open the scriptures to you. When he opens our eyes, we see God, his way, his will. He opens the scriptures. Whole new worlds are opened to us. Then we can become truly powerful, victorious, healed, and wise. The devil really lies to us that he has something that God won't give us. Or that he can give it to us the easy way, by the way he can, right before he destroys you. Adam and Eve had a great craving. Now listen, they had a great craving to have their eyes opened. God made us curious because he wanted us to discover the wonders of the universe and his glory in it and what he has for us to do right here on this earth. He made us curious in a right way and filled them with creativity. And they wanted to get out where they could be more involved with the glorious thing God had put it. And that was a good thing. But there was a fallen angel in the garden who still carried the supernatural power to deceive and still have the desire, he still had the desire to supplant God. Now remember, he's never changed. He wants to destroy you. He hates you. He wants your worship. He wants to be above God. That's his whole purpose. He wants to be worshipped. He was also a liar who misrepresented God and his nature. The foundation of all truth is Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Don't people struggle about, what is truth? I'm trying to find the truth. Try the Bible. It's great for truth. The Holy Spirit was given to the church and resides in the church for the purpose of bringing God's truth. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said to you. Think about it. That was God's intention. So I want to ask us this question this morning. Who's talking to you? Never thought about it that way, Pastor. I know it. That's why I'm talking to you. Do you think all those thoughts that come out of your mind is just some sort of an explosion of the innermost brain? Since Satan began talking to God's creation in the garden, he has not ceased to continue the monologue, trying to make it into a dialogue. He works to create sources that he can work through. It's important he comes, if it's very important, he will come to the person himself. Did he ever do that? In the book of Acts, he spoke directly to Ananias and Sapphira and put it in their hearts to lie to the Holy Ghost. You know the answer to that story. You shall not surely die. Oh, yes, they shall. And they did. And the scripture says that he entered Judas. He entered Judas. You think, how could a person travel around with a wonderful person like Jesus and then betray him? Satan put it in his heart. Jesus called Peter Satan. "Get thee behind me, Satan. You savor the things of man and not the things of God." So he was either speaking directly to the devil working in Peter, or speaking to Peter, calling him a devil, whichever the case may be. Peter was trying to save Jesus from pain and disgrace. Surely you don't think you can go to the cross. Oh, you wouldn't want to be involved in a church where it cost you anything, would you? Surely not. That's the voice of the enemy. Be involved in a church where it costs you nothing and you get about the same. Everything costs something in God. David said, I will not offer to the Lord that which costs me nothing. It's a lie that you can have something for nothing. It's not God's way. Salvation is free. After that, everything else costs. So actually, Peter was trying to keep Jesus from pain and disgrace, he thought, but he would have really, if he could, kept him from his destiny. The conclusion is, taking these three examples, is that he can put in our hearts to lie to God, as Ananias and Sapphira. You reckon in your whole lifetime that you've ever covered up something you want to do and told God a fib about it? Hello. And then one day the Holy Spirit said, I have a few things to discuss with you. And pulls the cover off. Hallelujah. I wish I had a nickel for every time I've heard a disguise of the truth. I felt God said. Leading a person in opposition to the Word of God, they felt God said. No, He won't say that. He won't say, you're an exception now. You go against my word. He won't say that. His word, He is the Word and He is the truth. And what is written in His word is who God is. So, first of all, Satan, if you want to know who's talking to you, first of all, he can speak directly, the devil. Secondly, he infiltrates the culture. And even with religious traditions that keep you really from God, from the power of God. I mean, what about the tradition speaking in tongues is the devil? Hey, there's lots of denominations that think that. It's ridiculous. We don't even know if the devil can speak in tongues. Religious traditions are lies. Who told you that? Well, your upbringing as a child, some radio preacher, your grandpappy that you thought was real spiritual. I've now had someone say to me, just in casual conversations, tell him about Prophet Victor and some couple of things that he had said. I mean, it's a nice person who likes me. But prophets are of the devil, aren't they? So, but you know what? I think I turned her thinking on it. Because I told her what the Bible said. Somebody else told her, there are denominations that teach that prophecy today is of the devil. How wild. Don't ever listen. Don't pay any attention. Don't worry about it. Especially don't strive and try to figure it out and make what you believe line up. Believe what the Word of God says. There'll always be plenty of religious traditions that will hold you back from the truth. We need to understand from the beginning that there are two formers of our minds. What you think and how you think. One is the Word, the other is the world. These two don't match much at all. I hope you don't believe that when children start to school, they are a blank page to be written upon. They have already had 6 years of input in the most formative years of their brains. If there was abuse and neglect, even before birth, they are predisposed to the ravages of the world already. I've always loved to dance. I've postponed that activity just for a short little time. But the other day when I was doing my workout, water workout at the wellness, and they were doing a class. I just got in on a little bit of it. And they were dancing to the music, you know, in the water. And in the water, I found that I could dance. So I felt like, well, hey, I'm pretty well on the way here. And my mother used to laugh, and here's what she said. You know, honey, it's no wonder you love to dance. She said, your daddy and I used to go out often to the clubs. Now, this is back before she was saved. And we just lay you down on a chair there somewhere, and you were just as happy as could be. And she said, we'd go and dance, and it was all of this, you know, all of these, Benny Goodman and all that. Anybody ever hear of these? They were some archaic, old, terribly old people. And they used to dance to that thing. I was almost born dancing. I was predisposed, you know. It wasn't. And then there, like in John's family, his grandparents never listened to music. And we've had the most fun teaching him to sing. He and I in the car together. I used to get him to try to harmonize and all kinds of things. It's one of the fun things we would do. I can't remember it at all. Immediately from birth, children are barraged with sights, smells, and sounds. Is it true? Now, I want you to just lock down with me here a minute. I'm explaining something to us, and we can decide to make some changes. Our children can be different. Our lives can be different. The atmosphere around us can be different. What will you provide to be the atmosphere of your children or your atmosphere? The rock culture, think about it now, in the culture of the world we live in. Movies, TV, all these things that we presently live with. When I was a very young teenager, Elvis Presley was the one that made the breakthrough. It was outrageous. Ed Sullivan finally decided to have him on his program, but only filmed him down to here. And it has emerged all the way from that to singers who look so weird. I mean, they look like they almost put some clothes on, but they sort of couldn't remember what clothes were, and then they went back and tried something else and put it in the wrong place, and I think really that they're disturbed themselves by how they look, because I noticed that none of them ever smile. And then it troubled me. Now listen, that was funny, but here's something serious. It troubled me when I noticed that Christian groups were patterning after that. And I began to think, all right, if I can find some music where somebody smiles on the front, I think that might be safe. Can you imagine? How can you have Christian music and not smile? But it was just expressions like, I'm going to tell you Jesus loves you. And then I began to see how that had an influence on younger people, because that is their culture. You understand? We didn't. That came into being. We already had a culture. We really had a culture here before they came into being, even. And the movies, I think I mentioned to you just recently that John and I had noticed that we sometimes will watch a real old movie on the Turner Classics. You can relax. They're not going to swear. They're not going to take their clothes off in front of you. If they kiss somebody, they leave something to your imagination. And they very often had a Christian viewpoint. Imagine in the secular world we live in now. And the school system is so different, the peer pressure that kids, you know, any of us could have taken off with any group of kids when we were growing up, but our parents influenced and sometimes forbade us to have anything to do with certain people. You know, when I was a young teenager, there was no television to influence my young psyche. It only came into being just about that time. And when I went to school, we prayed and were taught the Bible. I'm talking about in America. My mother would take me to church, sometimes to revival meetings. And she and her friends used to talk about great healing ministers like Oral Roberts and A.A. Allen. My mother was healed of two major diseases. I saw my father instantaneously healed of the effects of having been on a long binge. He just instantly and suddenly quit shaking, got up, and felt great. I remember hearing the preacher say to him before he prayed for him, "Mr. Good, do you plan to make some changes after I pray for you this time?" God in His mercy healed him. I thought, here's what was talking to me when I saw that. People, if they expect God to heal them, ought to try to live right. Not only that, what else registered was, my daddy is so sick, he needs God. Those are the kind of things that would register as I would watch that. That's who was talking to me. Though my father was an alcoholic, the strong influence of my mother and the exposure of the Word of God told me to think, don't ever do that. I didn't come up in a culture where everybody was drinking or trying marijuana or things like that. There was not a lot of that happened. I mean, some people did in the school we went to, but most didn't. And so that was not a strong peer pressure in our school. The absence of television kept me from the pathway, the immediate pathway, that it wanted to immorality and foolishness that children are subjected to today, not to mention witchcraft. I hope you do know that the Twilight series and the Harry Potter, please, if you have any of that in your house, burn it. Christians are not about vampires. We're not about witches and cauldrons. That is from the other side. Who's talking to you? Don't let anybody like that ever talk to you. Don't even listen. I heard John Hagee just the other day talk about going to pray for a woman who asked him to come and pray for her. And she had just been exploring Ouija boards and gotten out into some of this. And when he just started, he had never done deliverance before. And when he just started to pray for her, she turned inside out and roared. I mean, can't Satan do the most constructive things when you think about it? He doesn't do anything but destroy. Just because she had touched, what did God say? Don't eat of that tree or even touch it. Don't even touch it, church. I worked in my father's business as a child, and it told me the necessity and the value of supporting myself, working for a living from the time I was 12 or something. Some of my friends would not have had a good influence, but I had been told in my life's atmosphere by my mother and the ideas that she gave me that I was to keep myself from those things because it would not turn out good. And I want to remind you of this wonderful scripture. I think this may be the only answer. Let me say this, the only powerful answer. There are answers to bringing our kids upright and keeping them from these things. You know, there's Christian schools and there's all of these other things that can help. But here's the real answer that I've seen to be powerful, and it's the biblical answer. Deuteronomy 11:18. So commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these words of mine. Tie them to your hands, wear them on your forehead as reminders. Teach them to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, when you're getting up. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, so that as long as the sky remains above the earth, you and your children may flourish in the land that the Lord swore to give your ancestors. I think it needs to be the conversation around the house. We greet each other in the morning with, "Good morning, healed of the Lord." And when we pray over our food, we never pray without thanking God for complete deliverance and victory over every physical thing that wants to hold us back. And we talk all the time about these kinds of things. If you recognize the source, our thoughts have got to be retrained to be in conformity with God's words. Here's how the Bible says it, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation, Romans 12, last scripture. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world.
But everybody's doing it. It won't hurt anything. They'll think I'm stupid.
Take the time to sit down and explain it 28,000 times. Why give in to their voices? Now who's talking to you?
My pastor said the devil's speaking through our children.
I didn't say that. He does influence our thoughts, though. So let me, don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. We have gotten so married to our thoughts, as if somehow our thoughts are holy or sacred or always right. Everybody practice this once. You may never say it again, but just try saying it here in the church. I could be wrong. See, you can grow and learn something if you realize that there's some things that you could be wrong about, else you're never going to learn. It is so wonderful to know, to realize, to find out that all of our talking and teaching is not in vain. Yesterday, there was a lady that was helping me with some shoes. And somewhere in the process, a long time ago, she used to come to church here. And she was helping me with some shoes. And I said something to her about, well, I think you've been really kind and helpful to me today, I think. And she said, well, I got it from you. And I said, you got what? And she said, that humility is looking at a person and seeing what their need is and doing your best to help them with it. And that's how I sell shoes, she said. Thank God, her company should give me a commission. I had a request from a young woman and her husband in Tulsa, Oklahoma, asking if I would mentor them in praying for revival, because they have around 75 people that are wanting revival and wanting to know how to pray. Isn't it great to hear that people are reaching out for help? I had a pastor ask just recently if I would mentor him as he would raise up a church that would want the presence of God. He said, I've been to your conferences and I've seen what a high value you put on the presence of God. Now here's my point. Why shouldn't I be speaking instead of the devil? Why shouldn't you be speaking instead of the devil? Or religious spirits? Or tradition? Or the flesh who just wants to go the easy way? But as we talk, we are forming an atmosphere where people can have a way to think that is new. Their mind is renewed. There was a man named Brother Worley that used to come up here in ministry. He was an old Pentecostal fella. And we'd all just loved him. And he started a training center down in South Carolina. And our people went down and helped him several times. And he came up here and ministered. And I just loved the story he told about going to India. And he was down in the southern tip of India, Trivandrum. And while he was there, he discovered to his horror that the elders of the church beat their wives. And besides that, he was about to starve to death on the days that he wasn't sick. And he said he got in such a state, he said, I thought I was going to die. And he said, but I prayed and I called on God, and the Lord said to me, have I ever told you get ready, you're going to be sick. Have I ever told you, you're going to die? Did I tell you, have I ever told you you were going to die before you finish your work? Did I tell you I would never leave you or forsake you? You know, we have no right to be thinking thoughts that come from our flesh or the devil or the world culture that doesn't know God. We have no right to be thinking those thoughts. Well, you know, I just think things are awful and they're worse and they're getting... There's more Christians in the world today than there's ever been in the history of the world. And the number of Christians is gaining every day. Millions upon millions in China were hidden for so many years. And now that they've come out, they said it's 50 million. No, it's 150 million. No, we don't know how many there are. Tell the good news. Experiences. Now, coming in for a landing. Experiences try to talk to you, and try to strike fear and confusion in your heart. Hey. If I say, who's talking to you? Are experiences talking to you? They don't know anything. I have people say, they feel that the Lord might be calling them to come to this church, but they're really wanting to do it, and they don't know if he would do that. And I said, he gives you the desires of your heart. God's word is true. His promises are purified 7 times. I'm talking, he can't make any mistakes. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The devil is the father of all lies. When I got exasperated after they told so many lies about us and me in the first part of our ministry here, and then when they came out the one about me having 300 pairs of shoes. As you notice, I wear the same ones to church every Sunday morning, temporarily, because they're the only ones that work right now. I think those people should be made to come to church. Just to see my shoes every Sunday morning. It would be God's great, so there. So there. And so I just got so disgusted with that, and I said, Lord, where in the world would a stupid lie like that come from? You know what he said to me? The devil is the father of lies. And I just got this picture. One day someone is sitting there and the devil said, I think that woman over there has 300 pairs of shoes. I think about receiving a lie like that. Who has 300 pairs of shoes? I don't know. Imelda Marcus. That's right. The devil is the father of all lies. This is where lies begin. He lies about God. He lies about his word. He lies about you. And he lies about your destiny. He's not ever going to tell you what a great success you're going to be in the kingdom of God, because it makes him so angry. And by the way, he's very nervous and uptight. Just because a thing is real doesn't mean that it's the truth. What it means to you may not be the truth. It could only be your fears and your feelings putting a perspective or a twist on it. I mean, I'm going to say, as if it wasn't for you, some things would go through your life unnoticed. Okay, I'm going to leave that to the far side. I'm going to tell you this. This is my last example. You're going to enjoy this. I mean, you're going to appreciate it. Some people are not aware. Charles Spurgeon, who many have called the greatest preacher in the world, who ever lived. He really didn't live to be real old. I'm thinking about 58. And Charles Spurgeon was so outstanding. He got much of his information from the Puritans, and he preached down the line. He also preached revival. He preached having a relationship with Jesus Christ. He preached the Song of Solomon. I mean, he's as wild as we are, sort of. He preached healing, and he had people healed. He was so popular. I mean, there were a lot of people against him, but he was very popular. And so much so that in that day when there were no mega churches, he had to rent a tabernacle that seated 10,000 people. And still there were several thousand people outside that couldn't get in. Early in his ministry, when he was still in his 20s, one Sunday morning, as he was preaching, someone jumped up and said, "There's a fire in the building! There's a fire escape for your life!" And people began a stampede. And the balcony gave way. And many, many people were injured, and seven died. Now here's a very sensitive man, called of God, truly gifted of God. He's given himself totally to no other purpose to serve God. And the devil could say, because you had a meeting, people died. He was so totally, the old timers used to call it nervous prostration, meaning nervous breakdown, I guess, something like that. And he was so taken by that thing that he didn't even come out of the house for 2 weeks. He couldn't talk to people. He was nearly beside himself. It was such a terrible thing to happen to him. And the devil's saying all the time, it means you should quit now. You're not fit to preach. The other thing is, you can't handle this kind of grief and sorrow. You'll never get over this. That's what he likes to tell you. If you do get over it, you'll be changed so much you won't be of any value anymore. And this awful thing has happened to you because you're out of the will of God. Now that's how the enemy takes advantage of your situations. Who's talking to you? God's not going to tell you anything like that. Nobody causes a building to catch on fire and people to die. He was just there. The people loved him. It was a thing that happened. You know, he prayed and he really sought God. And I think it was within about 2 weeks, he came to the pulpit and he said, "It's through your prayers that I've been able to return to this pulpit. But from my heart, I want to do what and all that God has called me to do." He didn't know if he had what it took to continue. He really wondered. That's a fact. All that I told you, the things that happened, they're facts. But it wasn't the truth. The truth was, life happens. The word and the promise of God in the midst of that is what the truth is. Your reaction to a happening is not the truth. It's your emotions. It's your background of where you've come from that makes you respond. Hey, some people get scared out of their wits of something that I wouldn't even bat my eyes over. Or you, for example. The situation was real, but to quit because of it was not the truth. It is so important that we station ourselves squarely and say, well, first of all, perhaps you just need to ask yourself the question, who's talking to me? Who am I listening to? Let me come down there and talk to you just a minute, and then I want to pray for you. Because I believe that this is an area in our lives of, you know, it over to my left. It goes on continually. It never stops. We like to use the word today, self-talk. I would advise you to turn that over to word talk. I have a lot of self-talk sometimes. And you know, the devil will help you with that. And if you go back and start remembering good things, he'll start telling you you're sentimental. Think about the bad things that are happening today. So, you know, one time in the very beginning of the work, he jumped on me, and I think we had built one apartment building, and we were just beginning, and something had happened. I can't remember what it was, and the thought came in my mind, oh, but people are not going to do this. I don't think this is going to work. This is the enemy, you know. you know, this is going to be too hard. You can't get this to happen. I don't know if there's enough people who care about me and have confidence in me or whatever. And then the Spirit of the Lord broke through and he said, why don't you count the cars sitting out there? All of them have people that drive them here. And they come here because they want to. And that was the first time that I realized, we'll just let the devil make up the greatest baloney stories and believe them. And please, if you get one of those stories, please don't ever share it with somebody else. Wait till the time passes. Don't share as truth something that is just a happening. Don't put your perspective on the ain't it awfuls, how awful it is. I mean, I had a woman ask me when I was exercising, because I wear a brace around this elbow here because it doesn't bend quite as much, but oh, it's doing so much better. So she said to me, did you have an accident? And I said, no, I tangled with a parasite in Africa. And she said, I promise. She said, well, those things happen to us as we get older. Is this your answer to everything, church? Things like this happen to us as we get older? That is not the answer to everything. Things happen to young people too. We don't even know what we're saying. It's just things that our culture has, or the TV, or whatever kinds of things. I'm just wanting to encourage us today that we get a different source of our information. The tree of life is still there. In the book of Revelation, you'll see that he's still there. And the tree of life is still available to us, and we can eat of that tree. And it has got fruits, it's got leaves for healing, and it's got a way to bring to us everything we need right there from the throne of God. We don't need, I don't know why we pet and pamper the world. Oh, they might, let them think. Because we have what the world needs. There could be great recovery to our nation. If we'd go back, as we did many years ago, our educational system was established on the Bible. The Word of God. The reading came. By the way, I did want to say this one thing. The reading came from the Bible. To actually know the Bible and to actually understand. And when we had these basic things that were taught, reading, writing, and arithmetic, we weren't teaching all of these side issues, which are none of the people's business to teach your children. And we weren't teaching these slightly skewed ways. You know, history didn't really happen like this. It happened the way our political party wants it to happen. And then we write books on it. And then people believe that, just like it's true. Who's talking to you? I want the Word of God to talk to me. You know, when I was in school, you know, I said to you that it was so good to be there in a time and a day when the principal would read a scripture over the Bible. Now, I wasn't some goody two-shoes. I probably was whispering while he was doing that. But it was there. The atmosphere was there. The whole nation, in a sense, had a sort of kind of Christian ethic called nominal, even if you didn't have a real one. But it's not like that now. And so you must, and you have to teach your kids what truth really is, because the devil's really trying to scramble it up for us. We were taught so many different things when we were in school. And that forms our culture. That forms our way of thinking. And when you go to college, it gets worse and worse. My biology teacher wanted to argue with me that people would be better if they walked on all fours. Because it's difficult for your vertebrae and your spine and everything to walk on two legs. I've noticed at times it's a little difficult for me to walk on two legs. But I can't see how getting down with Missy is going to really get me over that hump. Missy's my poodle. Can you see how crazy and silly we've become? And don't be afraid of being politically correct either. That's just another cultural idea. Be biblically correct. How many of you would like to have what Romans 12 says? Get a new mind. Just take on brand new thinking. I want to ask you to stand together. We're going to believe God together. We live in great days. You know, how can we go out and reap the harvest if we're sort of worried according to the way the world worries and we don't even really know what it is we have to give and how that deliverance is going to come? So we need to throw off these things. Did you know that Smith Wigglesworth would not allow a newspaper to be brought into his house? Now, I'm not particularly suggesting you do that, especially since John reads the newspaper. And let me say this, you may think that's weird, right? But it was also weird when he raised people from the dead. And when hundreds and hundreds of people got healed, that was weird too. Sure didn't seem to hurt him any. And sometimes we think we have to have our hands full of everything. You don't. And your children don't have to do everything. Let me give you a liberating word. Your children don't have to do everything every kid's doing. But take the time to explain why you want to stay on track and give them things that are good for them. So I'm going to pray for us today. You know, just as I did last Sunday, I felt like we took a step in that prayer that we prayed, and I believe that the Lord helped us to understand that we wanted to put ourselves on a straight path concerning that. Now I want to ask you to put your hand on your head somewhere, on top, on your forehead, anywhere. Lord, today we've come to make that transfer. I have had a lot of thoughts. There have been a lot of things in my mind. And I've allowed a lot of things come into my mind that have no business being there. And I declare in Jesus' name, today they're going out. And I'm taking in your truth. And I declare that every fear and every oppression that the enemy has called leaves me now. Because I am free to think your thoughts after you. And I thank you, Lord, that you never did tell me that any of these awful things that I fear were going to happen to me. I've got that somewhere else. Now I'm saying, Jesus, talk to me. Talk to me. Talk to me. Holy Spirit, talk to me. Let that truth come in. Sweep away the refuge of lies. Let me be encouraged every moment of every day to know that you are God who speaks and reveals himself. Oh God, I'm believing you to heal. There may be some of you that have had any kind of a disease of depression, oppression, anything like that. Maybe you've had a nervous breakdown at some point. Something that has had some lasting effects. Let's take authority in Jesus' name. We say no to anything that has come to leave lasting effects concerning my mind. I say no. We have the mind of Christ, all of us in this church together. And we thank you that we think God's thoughts after him. Thank you, Lord, that we can think pure thoughts and good thoughts and thoughts that build and thoughts that heal and thoughts that lift up. And we set ourselves free from the carnal mind, which is God's enemy. And we thank you and praise you, Lord, to give us a new day of believing you and of receiving your word. And we thank you and praise you to say June the 7th, speaking of minds, June the 7th is the day I made this choice. I understood the word. It became real to me, and I saw the wrong ones talking to me. No more, no more, no more.